Diplomats who participate in the climate change circus seem to have a pretty good deal.
From across the Atlantic, another view on the Kyoto process from Gernot Wagner, a native of Austria.
They get to travel to places like Kyoto, Geneva, and Buenos Aires. And unlike those who attended the Seattle talks on globalization, the climate change bureaucrats can actually enjoy the cities they visit. So far, there haven't been many violent demonstrations to keep them huddled inside. Not a lot of stone-throwing social crusaders are against the idea of cutting CO2 emissions. And corporate lobbyists are too busy starting phony anti-global warming coalitions to go on the street to protest. But the upcoming meeting in Bonn will draw lots of protesters who'll get to witness firsthand how the protocol is buried, alive. The differences among the participants are simply too stark to make it work. Not surprisingly, most of the countries that have already ratified the Kyoto Protocol are island nations, in danger of disappearing under the rising sea level. These countries, with populations smaller than the number of physicians trying to keep Dick Cheney alive, have resorted to selling off the internet domain names to make a few bucks before they go under. The US, in the meantime, has been adding more than 1 million SUVs to its fleet, in a desperate attempt to conquer even the most remote shopping mall parking lot. It's a simple fact that developing countries will feel most of the negative impacts of climate change. Our economies, on the other hand, are profiting nicely from cheap fossil fuel, which lets us enjoy our standard of living at the cost of developing nations. We Europeans do a pretty good job of that, but you have to try pretty hard to be as wasteful as the US. The Kyoto Protocol was meant to be a small first step, but the Bush administration insists that China, India, and other fast-growing developing countries participate in the treaty. The agreement is set to expire in 2012, though, long before even China will catch up to the US in CO2 emissions. After Kyoto, any reasonable treaty should of course include these nations, but asking them to pay now for the mess the US and Europe have created is irresponsible. Unless the US does an about-face, the meeting in Bonn won't be much more than another fruitless attempt to revive the dying protocol. If you read President Bush's lips, it's dead already. But the European Union can't accept that. Our politicians have to answer to a strong green constituency. And besides, they truly want the treaty to go into effect. Preferably, of course, with the US, since they also know that any agreement without the world's largest polluter would only amount to a farce. The Kyoto process will limp through Bonn and perhaps even crawl into its next meeting in Morocco before it's finally laid to rest. But it might do the Bush administration well to remember that a majority of US voters support the treaty. And a couple of years ago, 2,500 US economists, including 8 Nobel laureates, signed a statement on climate change. They said that preventative steps are not only justified, but could be healthy for the US economy, regardless of what other countries do. So for Kyoto to come into effect, it would be necessary for Congress and the White House to act according to these voices. And it would be necessary for Americans to slowly let go of the constitutional right to cheap gas.
Austrian Gernot Wagner studies environmental economics at Harvard University. We also heard from Professor Robert Stavins, who directs the Environment and Natural Resources Program at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard.